from Tornado Alley. This is Dino's Podcast. Proud to present episode one. Welcome.
Hello, and welcome to Dino's Podcast, episode number one, the first podcast as Dino, not Daniel. He is Dino. My name is Sabrina, and I am recording with him on the podcast today because he asked me to.
No, she's not.
Yes, I am.
Anyway.
He asked me to, so I did. Yeah. He forced me to. No, I'm kidding.
I did not.
I'm kidding. Anywho, yeah. What are we talking about today?
I don't know. I don't know. Whatever you want to talk about, I guess.
You pick topic first.
Well, you wanted to talk about moving here, so.
Okay, well, yeah, that's an interesting story.
Go on.
Well, first we moved to Texas. That did not go so well. I mean, it did for a while.
Semi-did, actually.
It, like I said, it did for a while, but then...
It fell apart.
Yeah. It was good for the first, what? November. 4 months?
About 4 months.
And then, well... Yeah, about 3.5, because the middle of November, I think it was, beginning of November, fell apart.
Yeah.
He did not fall apart. I fell apart. And he was worrying about me, trying to take care of me, and the animals, and because I couldn't.
And the apartment flooded.
I physically could not. It wasn't mentally, emotionally, nothing. I physically could not. I was working. I was doing good. And up until the beginning of November. And I just couldn't anymore. I don't know. I could not. I don't know what was wrong. I just felt sick. I just felt weak. You know. Couldn't breathe. And I was stubborn. And didn't want to go to the doctor. And.
Come December.
I'm not there yet. Oh. It was bad. Like, my favorite place to go of all places is Walmart. And he needed to go pick up a prescription for his new doctor. That would have been my new doctor, but yeah.
Didn't happen.
Yeah. His new doctor, they sent him a pain pill prescription. So he needed to go pick it up. And he asked me if I wanted to go with him to Walmart to pick up his prescription. And when I said no, I didn't feel like going, that's when he knew something was wrong. Because when do I ever say no to going to Walmart?
Never.
I love Walmart. Walmart is my second home, I swear.
Yeah, she might as well stay there.
I might as well live there, huh?
Yeah.
But, so, anyways, I felt meh. I was like, oh, maybe it's just, you know, my asthma. Maybe it's just a cold because it was starting to get chilly. It wasn't terrible. It was, you know, Texas chilly. But I was like, oh, you know, I'll be okay, whatever. And then I started not being able to walk about more than 15 feet without having to stop for breaths and all that fun jazz. So then, come December, it was getting worse and worse and worse, and he's like, oh no, you're going to the hospital, or the doctor, or something. So, tell them what happened after that.
Your turn. Let's see. So, yeah. So, like December 15th, she had problems. So she let it go. December 16th, she had problems. Basically, like,
it was getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, it was getting worse and worse. So basically, like, by the 19th, she could hardly walk to the bathroom, and the bathroom was like, I'd say
that was like that started on like the 15th or 16th.
Oh yeah, but
the whole bathroom thing.
Yeah, but then it got worse on the 19th, and then
what the whole thing was like on the 19th, he found me in bed right after dinner. I was laying in bed, and like, I was breathing really shallow. That's when he did what he did. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, she was actually breathing shallow and a little bit hard. I'm like, that's not good. Like, where's your inhaler? Like, she couldn't even speak hardly to tell me that she doesn't need an inhaler. And I said, so what are you going to do? Well, I'm not going anywhere. I'm like, you are actually. So, the moral of the story is basically on the 19th, like the night of the 19th, we called emergency services.
You did.
I did. Well, anyway, whatever. So they had a doctor, and the doctor basically talked. Excuse me.
What was cool? I thought it was cool was because we called them, and they I guess they got a hold. Were able to get a hold of the doctor that was running the emergency room at our local hospital, the hospital closest to us in Texas. And we talked to him, and he said, based on my symptoms, that I needed to come in. So he himself got dispatched, or told them to come, you know, come get me, I guess.
It was bad.
And I guess, if a doctor at the emergency room tells them to come get you, that's not good.
No.
And it was bad because, like, they tried to stand me up to, you know, help me go to the gurney because they had the gurney. They were able to bring the gurney up to the stairs because there was two sides to get into our apartment. There was the road side, and then there was the complex side. The complex side, the stairs were steeper, and there was more of them. So they came in on the road side. There was three stairs. So they were able to get the gurney up the stairs and into the apartment. And they're like, oh, well, we'll just leave the gurney in the living room and have you walk out to the gurney, you know? Bad idea. So they helped me. There were two of them. Two really strong guys tried to help me stand up to go walk to the gurney. I made it to, even holding on to them, I made it to the bottom of the bed and I collapsed. You weren't in the room, so I don't think you would have known that.
No.
I think you were out talking to them to give him my medication, my medical history, all that fun jazz.
I think so.
But I collapsed. Luckily, one of the guys was able to catch me. He was literally holding me in his arms, and one other guy, so there was three of them, had to run back in and help them lift me back onto the bed. Because it was either that or them, you know, let me fall to the floor and then have to pick me up off the floor. So they're like, it's probably better that we just pick you up, or, you know, pick you up right here and just put you back onto the bed. Because it's going to be easier to pick you up off the bed than it is onto the floor.
Yeah.
Off the floor. So they put me back on the bed, and then the guys in the hall, there was the firefighters out in the hallway, or out in the living room. They brought the gurney in to the, as close to the bedroom door as they could. And they, I think they.
How rude.
Put me on the flat plastic board thing. And they carried me to the bedroom door because they couldn't get it any further in. So, didn't they put me on the board?
I think so.
And so then when they got me to the gurney, they took it out because that was just to carry me over there. But, so then they took me outside and I'm like, please don't drop me. Please don't drop me. He's like, I've done this many times. I know what I'm doing, you know? But I'm like, excuse me. I'm like, I've been almost dropped before. So I'm kind of skeptical about that. But, They had me on. So first, back up. First, they checked my oxygen at the apartment, and it was 82, right?
Think so.
I think it was 82, and they put me on oxygen. I was on 4 liters of oxygen, and by the time we got to the hospital, they're like, "Oh well, you know, we think it'll go up." No. By the time I got to the hospital, it was only up 4%. It was still at 88%. Not good.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So anyways, she was eventually taken away and...
You stayed home.
Huh?
You stayed home.
Yeah, well, I think that's obvious. Anyway, I stayed home. She was eventually taken away and I stayed home. Because of Simba and Sarabi, and I don't think they would have let me go anyway, maybe, but...
Well, they asked you if you wanted to go, and you said you had to stay home with them.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Anyway, whatever. So they asked me if I wanted to go stay at home with the dogs. And come...
I just told you that I'd call you and, you know, give you updates or whatever. And the scary thing... Simba, lay down. Sorry. Simba, lay down, baby. The scary thing was, it's pretty scary when you get to the emergency room by ambulance and the ER doctor looks at you and goes, "You're not planning on going home tonight, are you?" That's when you know something is bad.
Yeah. So basically she was admitted immediately, I think. Yeah, but then it took ages to get her room and everything.
I was in the emergency room overnight.
Right. But I mean, like, ICU type of deal. But anyway, barring that,
I was admitted to the emergency room. I think it was like 8 o'clock at night, and I didn't get a room until 7 o'clock the next morning,
which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So anyway, eventually, fast forward through the day. Eventually, she's intubated.
It was that morning.
Was it?
Yeah.
Or whatever. Anyway, I guess she's intubated and eventually put on a ventilator and everything else, and...
They checked my, sorry, go ahead.
No, I didn't say anything.
They checked my carbon
dioxide. Yeah.
Blood gas. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, they did that. They did it 3 different times, and each time was higher than the first. That's not good.
And she was not going to wear the, I think they call it BiPAP mask or something. So they eventually had to intubate her. Yeah, she kept taking it off. So,
they're like, claustrophobic. Fine. What do you expect?
Yeah. Well, anyway, she's claustrophobic, which I could understand. Yeah. But anyway, like, unfortunately, like when she was intubated, then everything had to boil down to me as to whether or not she got certain things or whatever the case was, because she was on a ventilator and could not make her own decisions. That's a scary thing, because then I was not sure at some points of what to do or whatever, but ultimately I had to do what's best. But eventually she had surgery. I forget exactly what day it was, because they diagnosed her with congestive heart failure. So basically she had like a buildup of fluid and the lungs, I believe, and the heart, I think?
Yep.
So, they took 800 milliliters of fluid, and that's apparently a lot from what I'm told by cardiologists and stuff like that. That's our... And she coded once, I think, during surgery. I believe I was told later. And then I think once... after surgery, I think. Something like that.
Sorry, what?
I said, I think you coded once, like, during the surgery, and I believe after.
I think it was before. Wasn't it before?
I'm not sure. I was told during and after, I think.
After. But it's scary to have their chest opened up and then them tell you that they had to use the internal paddles because you coded.
And then it's scary because they had to take out, like, the heart completely
to get to the pericardial sac to be able to
repair it.
To open it up to release the fluid. Yeah. Your pericardium, the way your heart is in your chest, your pericardium is underneath.
Yeah.
So you have to take it out in order to get to it because it's on the bottom.
Yeah. So she has a scar from her boob, I think.
It's right below my, starting right above my, one of my gallbladder scars and goes up.
Oh, damn.
Right between my boobs.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say
it's right. A pretty big one.
Yeah.
And then I have also, it was scary. And then I also have a chest tube scar. It's a little tiny hole. But anyways, so it's scary because I went to the hospital. I was intubated on December 10th, right? I mean, 20th.
Oh my God.
Sorry. 20th. The next thing I know, it's December 30th. And I'm, you know, still foggy, you know, still out of it, whatever. Like, you're kind of like you had surgery, you know, you're just, meh, you know. But then I'm like, I hear somebody outside talking about surgery, and I'm like, what are you guys talking about? I did not have surgery. You're crazy. And then I look, they come in, the nurse comes in, and she shows me, and I'm like, oh my God, what did you guys do to me? They're like, you had to have open heart surgery? Because I had the chest tube in, and then I had, yeah, it was bad. So there was the chest tube, which was draining some more fluid, which they had to come and drain, or, you know, empty daily, which was bad. They wouldn't take the chest tube out until I released a certain amount of fluid.
Yeah. So, the other thing too is they told the family and me, I guess, that at one point because she was on the ventilator, they tried to wean her off multiple times, and only about the fourth or fifth time did she actually successfully, I guess, trigger the vent, I guess, so that she could be taken off.
My body was not having it, apparently.
No. Apparently, whatever meds they gave her, she would not respond to whatever, and so they're, like, at one point...
What meds did they give me again?
I don't even know. They just gave you meds, and they just said that they're not working for some reason. So, they said, basically, that she may not make it. I'm like, what? And the heck, why? And they're like, well, not sure. I'm like, well, you're gonna try your hardest, ain't you? So at one point, and trying to think, maybe an intern or somebody and I had an argument because they told me point blank, well, it's not your decision what happens. I said, actually, I'm sorry, but it is my decision because I am her medical power of attorney. And I think a doctor happened to be coming by. He's like, I'm sorry, what's the problem here? And then
that was my doctor.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway.
You said he was coming and going in the room.
No, well, anyway. Point is, he was going by. And the intern or whoever the hell it was repeated what they said. And the doctor looked at
them.
And said, I'm sorry, but if this gentleman is her medical power of attorney, and I said, oh, well, yeah, why would I lie about such a thing? He's like, well, fair enough. But being that this gentleman, I guess, is her medical power of attorney, then unfortunately, it is his decision. So that was squashed. So the intern was asked to leave, and the doctor handled it from there. So they explained how, you know, she would have to go to a long-term care facility and have a trach and stuff. And I said, she's not going. And the nurse is like, well, excuse me, but she has to go. Doctor's like, actually, no, she does not have to go. Since he's her power of attorney, medical power of attorney, he has that right. So if you don't want us to take her, then we won't. But you'll have to sign something. And I'm like, oh, sorry. You have to sign something if for some reason she doesn't make it. And the rest of the story.
Did they ask you at one point if you wanted them to just take me off the vent because I'd been on it for so long?
No. He said he was going to give it a little bit more time and then see.
Oh, I thought that's what you said. I thought you said they had.
No.
They asked you if you wanted to take me off the vent to see if I would actually.
Like, no.
Come out of it or whatever.
He was going to, but then he's like, I'll give it a little bit more time and then see. and then we'll go from there. So, but yeah.
Because in his opinion, I'd been on it for too long?
A little bit, but he said he's willing to give some leeway. And yeah, so luckily you came out of it when you did, but if you hadn't have, then definitely would have had like a long-term care facility, trachs and shit, and feeding tubes down the throat. Yeah, it was bad, but yeah. Lo and behold, I eventually moved here, like in January, to Oklahoma here. Tulsa, to be precise. And then she had to go into rehab. It took him a while to find her a rehab place. So she was in rehab from January until, like, I think the end of March, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so January until end of March. And she had to relearn to walk and stuff again, which is horrible. But, yeah. That's pretty much the gist of it. She moved here in March.
What? You always see on TV and, like, movies and everything, like, those people that, you know, have to learn to walk or, you know, feed themselves or do whatever all over again. And you're like, oh, it's never going to be me, you know, and that's never going to happen to me. And then when it does, you're like, oh, shit, what am I going to do now?
Yeah, and then she figures that because of her age, she shouldn't have had heart problems, but she seems to forget that her family, I guess, has a history of heart problems. Oh, yes. So when she was diagnosed with CHF, she was like, Babe, why is it that I'm diagnosed with this? I guess she kind of was still kind of trying to grasp it all. I'm like, well, think about your family. That could be a part of a major fact. And that's what the cardiologist said, that family dynamics has quite a bit to do with it. And, you know, she was just unlucky. Like, sorry?
It's like you were trying to grasp it too. You're like, ugh.
Well, I understood, I guess, but I think it was more a shock to you than me, really, because I know when we met, you told me that your family had heart problems. And
I knew it was coming, but you know, even if you know it's coming, even when it comes, you're just like, what? Why me?
And how?
Yeah. Even if you know it's coming, but it's still hard.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, she's today she's doing better. I'm
doing a lot better.
She has balance problems, but she's...
I'm getting a lot better. I'm a lot better than I was then, that's for sure.
Yeah. She's waiting
on... Little things, little baby steps.
Yeah. She's waiting on physical therapy, and when she gets physical therapy done and occupational, quite possibly, she'll be back to herself. But yeah.
I'm back to going to Walmart again.
Yeah. And staying there.
That's how you know, Dad, that's how he knows that I'm back to myself, right?
Yeah. Something like that. But anyhow, yeah, that's pretty much that. I know it's a very interesting podcast. It's just, well, it's a welcome podcast. Why are you guys doing this type of deal? Well, because it's a podcast about basically anything, pretty much. I mean, I know the slogan on the website is a bit different, but hey, who cares, right? Right.
If you guys have any questions, you can ask them.
Yeah, if questions and stuff, I know I haven't done a contact or anything like that type of promo deal for this one. I don't really, well, I might do it actually. But if for some reason I publish the podcast without the contact info, then, well, that's okay. So.
Then how can they ask questions if you don't have the contact info?
Fine. I'll put it in there. Fine. Whatever. Anyway, you guys have questions, utilize the contact info.
And if Kevin and Jessica listen to this, hi!
Yes, if Kevin and Jessica listen, ¿cómo estás being a two? Maybe not. anyways, I think I'm getting hungry and...
Me too.
Yeah. So, we're going to... just going to cut this off now.
Bye.
But hey, from Oklahoma and Tornado Alley, see you guys later on the next podcast.
Unless we're blown away in a tornado.
We won't be. All right. Ciao, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Podcast contact information. If you would like to contact the author or co-host of this podcast, you can do so via email at webmaster@dinospodcast.us. You can subscribe to the podcast using the podcast website www.dinospodcast.us and click on the subscribe to podcast page. On there, choose your desired option to subscribe. Thank you for listening. See you in the next episode. Peace.